Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 28th day of August, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I guess when it comes to wrapping up a week of perfidy, shame, utter degradation, embarrassment, and certainly without question, let's call it what it is, treason. And that also means there's no small amount of revelation in this week as well. We better start with the latest atrocity committed by the Biden regime, in this case, via various proxies, including Joe's jihadis. Call them what you will, the Taliban, ISIS-K, or Obama's comrades, the effect is the same. A lot of dead American Marines and Afghani citizens, with almost certainly more to come, but at least a part of the truth is finally being revealed. What we're seeing is not merely incredible levels of incompetence, not even outright senility, but something far more, yeah, diabolical. This level of evil simply does not happen by accident or by stupidity. What we're witnessing, without question at this point, is the greatest act of betrayal, both at home and abroad, military embarrassment, and destruction of America's status in the entire world in U.S. history. And no, I'm not just talking about the latest act of overt treason in Afghanistan. The kind of perfidy that would betray allies and leave American citizens abroad to die has already demonstrated their outright hatred for hundreds of millions of Americans that they aren't defending at the borders, are actively muzzling, disenfranchising, and silencing, while at the same time they're absolutely attempting to disarm them, and certainly want to not only enslave, but directly poison, with what's also no longer capable of being denied at this point as the greatest biological weapons attack in the history of the planet. It has to be asked, is there literally any evil that they're not willing to commit in order to stay in power and consolidate their Bolshevik revolution? Let's start our review, though, with a wrap-up story that came out on Friday morning from Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Earlier on Thursday, he begins, at least 12 U.S. Marines and over 100 civilians were murdered in a pair of suicide bombings in Kabul near the Karzai International Airport. According to reports, U.S. officials were tipped off by both U.K. and Russian intelligence before the bombings because the U.S. was stupid or downright evil enough to have turned over security to the Taliban terrorists who were working the outer perimeter. U.S. officials, though, quickly blamed ISIS-K, no, not our Taliban buds, for the terror attacks on Thursday. Which begs the question, gee, why didn't they blame Trump? Islamist users on social media questioned just how the United States knew that it was ISIS-K so soon, right after the blast, which is even more suspect considering that Joe Biden has lost his intelligence. Now, I'm not just talking about his senility, folks. He lost his intelligence network, which he obviously never bothered to pay much attention to anyway, inside the country. Prior to this story, the Gateway Pundit spoke with a trusted intelligence source who told them that Islamists are already demanding ransom for the delivery of U.S. citizens to the airport. The Biden regime, though, still has not announced even how many Americans are left inside the country because they're either lying, which is obvious, or they don't know, which is equally possible. And they're not, by the way, mutually exclusive. We've also heard that rescue planes, says Hoft, were heavily soiled after the few rescue trips that were made, and that slowed down operations even further. Note that the Biden regime reportedly turned over security, sick, to Joe's jihadis, a.k.a. the Taliban, you know, the people that they armed so extensively earlier on, and even gave the Taliban a list of Americans and Afghans, along with some biometrics, it seems, that they know are still trapped inside the country. Additionally, says TGP, we've been told that the Taliban warned the Biden regime that any flights leaving after August 31st would be blown out of the sky. Oh, and guess what? They'll use U.S. Stinger missiles or other Biden-provided American ordnance to do the dirty deed. We're working, concludes the story, to confirm this and more. But of course, you know, the truth is the first casualty in war, folks. Let's follow that up with another story from a different aspect of the incredible level of treason at home and abroad via a story from abroad, courtesy of data from the United Kingdom via Natural News, which shows that the vast majority of the so-called Delta variant deaths are occurring among people who, hey, I hope you're sitting down, folks, are fully vaccinated. That means two pokes, at least for today, with the Wuhan coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-1984. Only one-third of all deaths supposedly caused by the booga-booga flu Delta variant are occurring in people who did not succumb to the Cyclone B poke, clearly showing that Operation Warp Speed is, at minimum, an utter failure or worse, assuming that saving lives was the goal anyway. From February 1st through August 2nd, the UK recorded 742 deaths allegedly caused by the Delta variant. Of those, 402 were fully vaccinated, meaning they had taken the double poison Zyklon B poke, while 79 had only suffered a single poke. The remaining 253 cases, or about a third, were allegedly unvaccinated. But they may have been exposed to something incubated in those who were producing spike proteins as their immune systems were being reprogrammed. So in spite of all the lies and disinformation being promulgated by the waystream ministries of truth, it's pretty clear that the vaccine, at minimum, is not as effective as advertised, even at stopping people from dying of the booga booga flu. And forget, because the FDA certainly did, any deadly or debilitating side effects. Which, if we actually had a regulatory authority, would have long since stopped the deployment of this Zyklon B poke. Decades ago, remember, they stopped the swine flu vaccine, which actually was a vaccine, after only 50 deaths. Today, even according to the official figures, which everyone knows grossly understate the total fatality rate of this abomination, we've got 260 times that many. And what are they claiming? Oh, it's not only safe and effective, we're going to officially approve it. And we didn't even bother with long-term testing because we pulled a bait and switch. Ha ha, aren't we clever? So, concludes Ethan Huff for Natural News, in every country where the Fauci fraud is being swallowed or injected, hook, line, and sinker, and that includes Israel, which has one of the highest rates of Zyklon B uptake on the planet, deaths and hospitalizations are all soaring. Just like Biden's senility, the death toll is getting pretty hard to hide. Let's do one more story on the fatal fraud front before we go back and fill in some of the gaps today. With another story, also from Natural News, but this time from Lance D. Johnson, about how the FDA's so-called, well, and fraudulent full authorization of at least some kind of Pfizer COVID alleged vaccine broke the law in a whole bunch of ways, and the agency is now complicit, says almost everybody who's paying attention, in crimes against humanity. The violations of the Nuremberg Code have been obvious worldwide for the better part of a year at this point. The vaccine industry's stranglehold, he begins, over the U.S. government has never been more blatant and unashamed. What with full authorization and licensure of Pfizer's experimental series of mRNA pokes, they call them inoculations, they're not vaccines, folks, the Federal Death Authority, or FDA, just subverted their own federal regulations and gold standards while ignoring the vast number of injuries reported after, inoculation. They are violating multiple principles of not only the law, but medical ethics, too, and complicit in crimes against humanity after approving, or at least pretending to approve, the Pfizer-BioNTech drug. And the variant is now called Comirnaty. But I think it should be pronounced commie nasty. For 8 months, the so-called vaccine, but maybe it's not the same, has ravaged the health of the nation with 3,033 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, of which 1,335 came directly from the Pfizer shot, and a shocking 8,396 known blood clotting disorders have been reported. And remember, folks, VAERS only catches a fraction, maybe at most 10% of the total, probably closer to a fraction of that, of which 3,586 reports were attributed to the Pfizer poison poke. That drug company is also responsible for 44% of the 126,905 reports of anaphylaxis and over 200 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome and 1,300 cases of Bell's palsy. And there's at least one woman in a series of horrifying pictures now gone viral whose face literally rotted off because after taking the poke, the, quote, patient started to develop fever, fatigue, and headache, followed by skin lesions affecting her trunk, which spread to her face and upper limbs with oral ulceration. And from there, folks, the story gets really graphic. She was diagnosed with what's called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, as well as TENS, or toxic epidermal necrolysis spectrum. And yes, they reports, were it not for emergency interventions, the Pfizer shot, which caused her skin to rot off, would have continued to rot, and that would have killed her. Researchers concluded that there were no other identifiable causes for the 10 and the subject woman other than the Pfizer injection. And hey, while that may be a whole lot scarier than the mere Fauci flu, the point is, it's only a tiny fraction of those who die or suffer lifetime incapacities as a result of taking an untested experimental not vaccine. And on that score, continues Lance D. Johnson, Tens of thousands of people have been sent to emergency rooms because of the poison pokes. Over 17,000 have been permanently disabled, and over 13,000 pronounced dead after taking the shots. And this Holocaust is happening in the young as well as the old. Remember, the young are almost never seriously affected by the booga booga flu, as the spike proteins congregate in various vital organs and cause inflammation in the cardiovascular system. For the past 8 months, though, notes the coverage, the FDA has allowed an illegal EUA, or emergency use authorization, to facilitate their planned Holocaust. Note that the EUA is illegal if there is any alternative treatment considered safe, effective, and readily available. So what did they do? Lied about it being safe and made darn sure that it wasn't readily available. They even went so far at approximately the same time as they announced their bogus approval to claim, oh no, look, there are people out there taking horse drugs rather than our poison poke. How dare they, and how dangerous is that? Answer, a hell of a lot less dangerous than the side effects from the poison poke. But you're not going to hear that. Millions of people, says Johnson, have recovered using early antiviral immune modulating treatments. Things like ivermectin especially. Oh, by the way, that's the one they demonize as being a horse medicine. Budesonide, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin D, and so on. But all of that science is actively being suppressed. People are even being banned and silenced for suggesting what would have once been called science and peer review. For 18 months, the FDA has refused to evaluate treatments that have worked and work very well in the U.S. and abroad, paving the way for their destructive and illegally authorized injections that have only added to the pain and suffering in what was once called, but now laughably isn't, the medical system. Quick aside, folks, I've got a great piece here that I don't have time to do today from Paul Rosenberg via freemansperspective.com and also places like Zero Hedge on the weaponization of what was once called medicine. But briefly, he notes that medicine no longer stands apart or above politics, and peer review no longer means much either. Why? Because of captured academic hierarchies, and it's been almost fully separated from science proper and become a tool of institutional power wielded by so-called academics who've sold out real science for the favors of power and politics. At one time, peer review referred to honest replication of experiments. No longer. Which means that medicine and science have nothing to do anymore with truth, but merely social pressure. And if you trust socialist media and the communist news networks, and don't read multiple scientific papers for yourself, especially those from rebels and castouts, you not only don't know, you've already been deceived. And in this world, it may very well cost you your life. And one more story on that front, just to drive the point home with a vengeance. Cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough appeared on RFK Jr.'s The Defender podcast, discussed a new study by Oxford University's Clinical Research Group about how the Pfizer vaccine, at best, is only 17% to 42% efficacious, and thus doesn't even meet minimum regulatory standards of 50% or so they claim for vaccines. But hey, this wasn't every vaccine anyway, remember? And they cut a hell of a lot more corners than that in order to slam dunk this abomination through. And citing that new paper, published in, of all places, The Lancet, which has occasionally lied when it suits their purposes, so while we take them with a grain of salt, who knows, folks, maybe they're trying to clean up their act. They claim that vaccinated individuals, now remember, that's vaccinated folks, not the unvaccinated, carry 251 times the load of COVID-19 viruses in their nostrils, their nasal passages, compared to the, oh no, unwashed, unvaccinated.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oops, wait a minute. Oh no, you're supposed to be afraid of the unvaccinated because the vaccine protects you. Well, unless you're around unvaccinated people, in which case it's evidently worse than worthless. He goes into some pretty grisly detail here, but this is the summary. Quote, this group had actually calculated viral load from oral and nasal secretions in the past. The viral load was 251 times that of the unvaccinated era where they had used the same methodology. So they had previous workers and patients who had COVID-19 before any exposure to the vaccines. But now the vaccinated were carrying a massive viral load. And guess what, folks? They were passing it to one another, unquote. The bottom line, says Dr. McCullough, the vaccines are failing. And again, I think he's being too kind. Which means I'd better go here next. And a clip from one of the most evil men on planet Earth. I listened to the entire 10 minutes of this thing. That's 10 minutes I'll never get back. being thrown softballs by one of the worst sycophants on TV, embedded CIA propagandist Anderson Cooper on the Communist News Network, who's obviously just gleeful that they threw away the rules and coerced the Federal Death Agency to approve a vaccine that's killed more people than every other vaccine ever approved in this country's history combined, as if people are stupid enough now, and maybe they really are, to believe that a bogus approval is worth something. But now, though, America's very own Dr. Mengele says, hey, the hell with the Nuremberg Conventions. We're going to ram this down people's throat, whether they like it or not. Informed consent, in other words, is now just as dead as the Second Amendment or my body, my choice. So listen up.
You're going to see, and the estimate is, and there was some poll that showed it, that about 30% of people who are not anti-vax, they just were waiting to get what they felt was the real final stamp of approval,
i.e. rubber stamp, slam dunk,
which we just got today with the Pfizer product. And those 30% are saying when that occurs, they will feel very, very comfortable about getting vaccinated.
You know what? Ted Bundy's victims felt very comfortable getting in his car, too.
So right away, you're talking about 30%. I hope they come through with what the survey said.
And you guys keep up the propaganda, it's unlikely that they'll wake up and realize they've been had before it's too late.
But the other thing that you just mentioned now is they're going to give a lot of incentive and backing for a lot of institutions and organizations and places of employment to mandate.
But wait a minute. I want to make sure we heard that correctly. Did you catch it? We're going to give incentives for Big Brother's properly connected public-private partners, or those who want to be, to stick it to you, and hard, to force feed you, whether you like it or not, with what we're going to incentivize them to do over your dead bodies. Listen again, and remember, this is Fascism 101 writ large.
But the other thing that you just mentioned now is they're going to give a lot of incentive and backing for a lot of institutions and organizations and places of employment to mandate. And that could be colleges, university, the military, organizations that employ a lot of people. Some of the big corporations are going to say, if you want to work for us in person, you've got to be there and get vaccinated.
Or else, Achtung.
And I think that's a good thing. I know I respect people's freedom.
Like hell he does. What a damnable liar.
But when you're talking about a public health crisis
that I planned so carefully, engineered with your tax dollars, and got the communist Chinese on board to help out with,
that we've been going through now for well over a year and a half,
and he's not about to let drop. Remember what Rahm Emanuel said, folks. Never, ever let a perfectly good crisis go to waste.
The time has come. Enough is enough. We've just got to get people vaccinated.
And you slaves, you peons, had better learn who's boss, because just as the Nazis sent people to concentration camps, they were pikers by comparison to what we've got planned. Hell, you can read about it in the book of Revelation. This is a level of outright, in-your-face, satanic evil that most Americans simply can't recognize because they never, ever, in their wildest nightmares, thought that people like Anthony Fauci would be allowed to do this kind of thing and get away with it. They were hung at Nuremberg for far less visceral crimes. From there, let's go right to the Biden-Fuhrer, who's also celebrating that, having been reduced to a rubber stamp, FDA approval of the mRNA poke may be a joke, but it's hardly funny to those whose lives are about to be destroyed by it. Let me say this loud and clear, said the American dictator in a tweet that hasn't been banned by the socialist media giants. If you are one of the Americans, the millions of Americans, who have said you will get the shot when it had full FDA approval, yeah, whatever the blankety blank, and you know what that's worth, that has now happened. And the moment you have been waiting for is here. And the time to get vaccinated is today. Are you a good German? And let's not forget what Adolf Hitler, the mentor of the New Left, said in Mein Kampf. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. And Biden certainly hasn't forgotten that either.
Now, I know that parents are concerned about COVID-19 cases among their children.
Especially if they let them be guinea pigs for our so-called vaccination program.
I'll be addressing this soon with Secretary Cordona to discuss how we get our kids back to school safely.
There's an easy answer to that one, by the way. Get the hell out of the way and let them do what they need to with their own kids. Because all you intend to do, as we're going to see here in the next part of the quote, is addle their developing brains and destroy their ability to think.
Cases among children are still rare. And severe cases among children are very, very rare.
Which is why we're dead set on making sure we poke them before parents figure out what we're doing.
But I know that parents are thinking about their own kids. It's not as reassuring as anyone would like it to be. So let me say this as parents, to the parents. As you have the tools. You have the tools to keep your child safer. And two of those tools, above all, are available to you. One, make sure that everyone around your child who can be vaccinated is vaccinated. Parents, adults, teens.
Make sure we expose them to all the spike protein shedding that we can.
Two, make sure your child is masked when they leave home.
Make sure those little developing brains are not only muzzled and socially disadvantaged by not being able to see and read people's facial expressions or even learn to communicate when they're young. That'll help us develop more sociopaths, at least among the ones that survive, and don't, for example, commit suicide like so many young children have of late. And if we can force them to rebreathe their own exhaust gases all day long, not only can we dramatically weaken their developing immune systems and make them not only susceptible to our bioweapons, but all kinds of other diseases as well, especially, of course, if we muzzle them with those face diapers and decrease the oxygen in their bloodstreams dramatically, while at the same time increasing carbon dioxide and overpowering those young brains so that they never develop properly. Aren't we damnably, well, downright satanically clever?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The gloves are off, folks. They're not even hiding it anymore. This level of evil goes beyond anything that anybody that ever grew up in this country could have ever expected, unless they've been reading the history of previous totalitarian regimes or scripture.
I'm Satan reincarnated.
Well, I've quit arguing with that. All of which leads me to this story, which your host thinks is important. It does seem to be second-sourced. Courtesy of the Hal Turner Radio Show, and supported by Steve Quayle's site as well, a source informs me, he says, as follows. The U.S. Department of Octung Homeland Security is working on a chip-enabled vaccine passport for use by Americans if they intend to buy anything. It'll be integrated into cash registers, like a credit card reader presently is, and in order for the register to even be able to ring up a sale, the card will have to be presented, inserted, and scanned. In the words of one guy, you won't even be able to buy gasoline without it. Moreover, the card will be updated with any vaccine boosters that Big Brother decides, Octung, you will have or else. No booster, no update, then you're unvaxxed. And you know what that means, you slaves, you're not even fit to drive, much less buy or sell or leave your home. The assessment within DHS, continues Hal Turner, is that they won't have any problems implementing all of this, what with the liberal left and their crew of useful idiots. As for what's called the Trump supporters, the assessment of Homeland Security is that there may be a few riots here and there, but in the end, the conservatives will do what they always do, nothing. Yeah, they bitch a lot amongst each other, but in the end, they bend over and take it like the impotent weenies that they are. And furthermore, he says, Homeland Security used the theft of the November 2020 election as justification for their view on the vax passport, because they're openly saying inside DHS that, quote, if the election was stolen for Biden, the Trump people did nothing. And if the election had been actually stolen, the Trump people would still be rioting to this day. So the fact they aren't shows that the conservatives are all talk and no action, and they will do as they are told. And let me summarize all of that again, folks. Take the poke, fare your muzzle, and shut up, says Hal Turner. The source played for me a recording of a conversation with that Homeland Security guy, and it was obviously recorded clandestinely. I personally heard each and every word of the recording, and the disdain that they have, folks, for the American peons seems to know no bounds. And guess what? It's continuing to increase. The intent, based on what I heard, concludes this piece, within the U.S. government, or what now passes for it anyway, is to prevent citizens who decline to take the poke from engaging in any commerce at all. Meaning that a kinetic confrontation in defense of our personal liberty now seems inevitable. And I got to admit, folks, I think that's the optimistic statement of what may be ahead. More pessimistically, DHS is right. And so-called American conservatives, patriots, and others will do what they've been conditioned into doing, which is nothing. They'll just sit back, one way or the other, and die. We certainly can and should hope and pray that they'll wake up, but time draws very short. We'll be right back after the bomb hour break. Stay with us. Welcome back now, folks, to the second segment of the show for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Call. And one of the questions I've had to wrestle with, it seems like, quite a bit lately, folks, is whether to start off with suicide at the international level or the national level. And in a way, I kind of glossed over some aspects of this in the first segment. So let's go back now and fill in some of the gaps. And by that, of course, I mean the attempt to force Americans to get prepared for the idea of the Mark of the Beast by simply volunteering to commit suicide via the now Federal Death Administration approved Zyklon B poke. And while it was obvious from the get-go, just given the time frame, that it was a complete farce, the more we find out about it, the more we realize just how big that deception really is. But let's flip the coin and start this segment off with the other side of the big lie. With what continues to shape up to be the biggest international and military debacle in American history, leaving who knows how many Americans to die, and certainly the administration and the State Department don't, at the hands of foreign terrorists, rather than simply those that work directly for the deep state. So let's begin that review for the week with a string of quick headlines. Here's one out of Congress where Kevin McCarthy says that the senile marionette-in-chief has, quote, turned his back on his duties. Well, that dates all the way back to when he first put his hand on a Bible and lied. His own citizens, and that's increasingly obvious, and allies still stranded in Kabul. The GOP, says the Daily Mail headline, and this was before the ever-so-predictable bombing, remember? Tears into Joe for letting the Taliban call the shots and for stopping Westerners getting out despite the imposter's idiotic and, yeah, downright impotent posturing to not look to the rest of the world like what they already know that he is. Jen Psaki, remember folks, the P is silent like it is in Resident, snapped at a reporter for calling all the thousands of Americans in Kabul what they are, stranded, even though she doesn't have any clue how many there really are that are stranded there. That Daily Mail headline, since expunged, says White House in denial because the rest of the world at least certainly knows who's really calling the shots. Hint, they may be really evil, but they're not senile. For more insightful coverage, we'll turn to some of the Gateway Pundits headlines. Up to 100 of the Afghan evacuees, they already seem to be a whole lot more concerned, folks, about getting Afghanis out of there than actual Americans. But 100 of those that have been evacuated are on the U.S. terror watch list. Who could have imagined such a thing? And at least one has direct ties to ISIS. Says that story, the Biden regime has promised that the Afghans evacuated from Kabul this week, as if we thought their promises meant a blankety-blanking thing, will be fully vetted, yet already we're seeing that's not true. This, says the piece, is what Joe Biden is bringing into a community near you, and that's not including the unvetted illegal aliens who are crossing the open U.S. southern border in record numbers, bringing not only disease, but probably by now, U.S. weaponry provided to Islamic terrorists along with them. We'll come back to that story in a minute. Here's a related story, same source, Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Update, it says only 4,407 Americans rescued from Kabul out of a total of 58,700 evacuated civilians, meaning there are still 10,000 to 20,000 actual Americans remaining. Or are they? Who knows? One thing is sure, the Biden regime doesn't know and doesn't care. Oh, and to make that point, an earlier Daily Mail headline, with pictures and video, shows the resident, after a very brief and full of lies press conference, turning his back, literally and figuratively, on Americans and walking out. One of those big lies, though, and hey, didn't I talk about this over a week ago? Has the White House releasing a statement saying that, yes, mission accomplished. Well, in this case, they rephrased it just a bit so it doesn't sound quite so trite and obviously false. They're patting themselves on the back for completing the mission. which, if you understand anyway, that the real mission was to strand Americans, embarrass the nation internationally, and destroy the morale of the American military while arming a whole bunch of new terrorists, was certainly a resounding success, and it also made a great smokescreen for the continued attempts to kill millions of Americans at home while implementing the precursor to the Mark of the Beast. But ironically, even the left-leaning press isn't buying the line that the mission in Kabul will end based on the achievement of our objectives, if for no other reason than the leftist press likes to pretend they don't know what the real objective is. This, though, is revealing. The statement from the office of the Biden Fuhrer says that, quote, completion of the mission by August 31st depends on continued coordination with the Taliban. And some of us have suggested that that's been the case all along. It's just getting more and more obvious. Even though, as the Daily Mail and lots of other honest press is reporting, thousands of Americans are still trapped in the country, unable to make their way to the Kabul airport. All of which leads your host to this story. I'm going to call this entire sequence Arming Terrorists While at the Same Time Disarming Patriots. And the fact that they're working real, real hard on the latter part of that has been obvious for quite some time. But it's the first part there, about arming various terrorists outside the country, while others, of course, are being allowed to cross the southern border unimpeded, that really ought to have those who are paying attention, well, up in arms. This piece comes from Zero Hedge via Adam Andrzejewski and Forbes, out of the headline, Quantifying the Staggering Costs of U.S. Military Equipment Left Behind, and your host will interject here, donated to the Taliban in Afghanistan. The U.S. provided an estimated $83 billion, they say, worth of training and equipment to Afghan security forces, SIC, since 2001, and this year's aid alone by the U.S. military to Afghan forces was $3 billion. Putting price tags on American military equipment still in Afghanistan, says Forbes, isn't an easy task in the fog of war especially, or during the withdrawal, because Afghanistan has always been a black box with little sunshine. But not helping the situation, the Biden regime is now hiding key audits on Afghan military equipment. This week, though, our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com reposted two key reports on the U.S. war chest of military gear in Afghanistan that had disappeared. Who could have thought it? From various federal websites. Number one, though, was a GAO report, an audit of U.S.-provided military gear in Afghanistan dated August of 2017. And number two was a Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, also called SIGAR, how appropriate, audit of $174 million in lost Scan Eagle drones alone. That's dated July 2020. U.S. taxpayers, they note, paid for not only the audits, but U.S.-provided equipment and ought to be able to follow the money. Well, don't count on it, but at least they're going to try. After publication, the GAO spokesperson responded to our request, said Forbes, for comment, saying, the State Department requested we temporarily remove and review reports on Afghanistan to protect recipients of U.S. assistance that may be identified through our reports, i.e., we don't know how many terrorists have already crossed the southern border, but we want to make sure you never find out. Well, at least not until they reveal themselves by you know what. Oh, and also, continuing the quote, thus subject to retribution. Oh, you mean like U.S. equipment and biometric databases were left behind to expose those remaining in Afghanistan to terror from the Taliban? Or hey, consider this. When it comes to retribution, maybe you have to figure, by now at least, that they're thinking about Americans who are fed up with having traitors in our midst. Anyway, those reports only have numbers and no recipient information, says the Forbes piece. And furthermore, unless noted, while estimating acquisition value, our source is the Department Logistics Agency, or DLA, and their comprehensive database of military equipment. Now, I'm not going to go through all the numbers in here, folks. There are four pages of itemized equipment, ammunition, and high-tech weaponry. No wonder the Taliban treated themselves to ice cream cones in that famous photo, celebrating Joe. But I will hit some of the highlights. Even, for example, counting used vehicles, there are a hell of a lot of them. Between 2003 and 2016, the U.S. purchased and provided 75,000, just shy of 900 vehicles, and 208 aircraft to the Afghan Army and security forces, according to the GAO report. From light tactical vehicles and Humvees, most of which priced in at about $100,000, give or take a few tens of thousands apiece, to MRAPs and armored personnel carriers, which cost hundreds of thousands apiece. Hey, I got an interesting idea. Wouldn't it be neat if the Biden regime donated a few hundreds of those, at least, to various patriotic militia groups around the country? Yeah, sure. Don't count on it. They probably suspect by now they're going to end up trying to defend their homeland against foreign terrorist invaders, just like we're seeing now over there, armed with taxpayer-provided equipment. Meanwhile, the various aircraft among the 200-plus provided to the Taliban through their intermediaries includes 110 helicopters, M-17s and MD-530s, various transport and cargo airplanes, a number of A-29 light attack airplanes, and, of course, a bunch of Pilatus PC-12s for intelligence, reconnaissance, and surveillance operations. The new Taliban Air Force Black Hawk helicopters cost around $20 million apiece. The light attack aircraft, often armed with Hellfire missiles, list for $12 million or so apiece. Obviously, though, the Biden regime gave the Taliban a big quantity discount on all of these. While civilian models of the Pilatus turboprop aircraft go for, $5 million or so apiece. By the way, folks, your host has met a few civilian pilots over a period of years, wealthy enough to be able to own and fly one of those. And I gotta tell you, that's a really nice airplane. And as the Forbes piece notes, even if they can't fly all of these planes, the salvage value and repair parts alone are worth a fortune. From there, let's talk drones. In 2017, the U.S. military lost $174 million worth of drones that were part of the attempt to help the Afghan National Army defend itself, but the ANA didn't immediately use those drones and then somehow managed to lose track of them. This week, the cigar audit on that $174 million loss amazingly just disappeared from the website.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
No, and they're obviously not the drones you're looking for either. Here's a question. Did you know that as a U.S. civilian, if you try to buy good, surplus U.S. military night vision equipment, you have to sign some special paperwork promising you won't take it out of the country? But since 2003, the U.S. gave Afghan forces, and now the Taliban, it would seem, at least 16,000 night vision goggle devices, according to that GAO report. And guess what, folks? That's the good stuff you probably couldn't get anyway. Oh, and also 600,000 infantry weapons, including M16 rifles. And those are real assault rifles, folks. Full auto, selective fire stuff. The kind that peons in the United States are no longer allowed to possess, regardless of what the Second Amendment says, without special dispensation and lots of extra taxes and inspections from their big brother masters at ATF. And what do you bet the Taliban didn't have to undergo a single background check to get them, nor pay for any $200 a piece tax registrations? They also, said the GAO report, got 162,000 pieces of great communications equipment, not to mention quite a few howitzers, the modern cannon for the U.S. military. Each can cost up to $500,000. Some of them even have GPS guidance on the shells they fire. And when it comes to other great weapons that peons in the U.S. basically can't have or much less afford anymore, just the sights alone on various night vision-equipped sniper rifles can run up to $35,000. They weigh in at a minimum of $5,000 to $10,000 apiece, though. Other weaponry provided at taxpayer expense to the Taliban included M240 machine guns, grenade launchers, army shotguns, and a whole bunch of good military pistols. Exactly the kind of thing Big Brother Biden and his anti-Bill of Rights crew want you to turn in, just as soon as they're able to redirect the news cycle. There were even some oddities in the mix, not only the Scan Eagle drones that run about $1.4 million apiece, but Aerostat surveillance balloons, costing up to almost $9 million each. Oh, and in case you're curious, those, by the way, could have been used to monitor the southern border, as well as some things called wolfhounds for radio monitoring systems that weigh in at about $840,000 apiece. Now here, folks, I gotta admit, I'm not familiar with that designator, but I kinda wonder if maybe that kind of equipment couldn't have been used to monitor the Taliban coordinated advance to take over Afghanistan. The story closes with a great quote from the National Security Advisor, SIC, at the Biden version of Birch's Garden, who said, quote, "We don't have a complete picture, obviously, of where every article of defense materiel has gone, but certainly a fair amount of it has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. Surprise, surprise, surprise." And obviously, he continued, "We don't have a sense that they're going to readily hand it over to us at the airport." What a blithering nincompoop. Think about it, folks. They expect Americans to hand over all of their registered weaponry. That's the point of full gun registration anyway, isn't it? And you do have to ask, isn't that why they're practicing going door to door and asking, "Have you had your poke?" or else? And by the way, if you haven't, we're probably not going to let you have guns anyway. Why aren't they doing that in Afghanistan? As if we didn't already know the answer. I know this sounds obscene and absurd, but I want people to draw the parallels and ask yourself the question, why are they planning on doing here what they weren't doing over there? Instead, they were doing the opposite and arming the terrorists, who then proceeded to do oh so swiftly exactly what their mentors in the Biden regime are planning, and disarming patriotic locals. Republican senators, though, say they're shocked, I tell you, that all of this military equipment could fall into the hands of non-congressional terrorists. In a letter to Lloyd Austin, who masquerades as Secretary of Defense, they said they were horrified to see photos of Taliban militants holding treasure troves of military equipment, including their Black Hawk helicopters. Quote, it's unconscionable that high-tech military equipment paid for by U.S. taxpayers has fallen into the hands of the Taliban and their terrorist allies, they said in the letter. Securing U.S. assets should have been among the top priorities for the U.S. Department of Defense prior to announcing the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Unquote. And once upon a time, folks, it would have been called standard operating procedure. Now standard operating procedure seems to be doing the exact opposite, arming terrorists while planning to disarm American civilians. Once upon a time, though, there was another word that would have been used in this situation. It's called dereliction of duty, or worse, and it would have been a court-martialing offense. So at this point, I need to ask one more and hopefully really obvious question. Can you see the pattern here? Guess where it leads. So to at least start to close that loop, we'll go to a piece from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts earlier in the week, former assistant U.S. Treasury Secretary, and a fellow who's come a long way towards realizing just how out of control the deep state and the formerly constitutional republic really is. Last year, once I realized, he begins, that the COVID campaign was in fact a fear campaign and not actually a scientific or medical campaign, I understood that the operating agenda was not public health. It became clear there was a profit agenda, who could have thought it, and also a control agenda in which civil liberties and their legal and constitutional protections were being cast aside. Having studied at four top universities in days gone by, back when education, not propaganda, was the purpose of education, I'm able to comprehend most scientific reports, says Dr. Roberts, at least sufficiently enough to understand the gist of them. But in the case of the COVID, when in doubt, I rely on virologists and medical school professors to vet or correct my conclusions. Having had famous professors, including Nobel Prize winners, who were mocked in their earlier years by establishment opinion, and having myself experienced resistance to my own innovative scholarship, I was aware the truth is often rejected until opponents are simply overwhelmed by the evidence. And he notes that it took 50 years, half a century, for his former Oxford University professor, Michael Polanyi, a physical chemist, for his theory of chemical absorption to win over Einstein's disapproval. But in the meanwhile, a number of his students had won the Nobel Prize in Science. He names a whole bunch of them here, including his son, John Polanyi, in chemistry, and says Michael Polanyi was the most intelligent, civilized person I've ever known. He'd certainly, though, be disheartened to see the disregard of evidence in universities and media today by public authorities. But when it comes to the COVID deception, he says, I am alarmed that evidence today has literally lost its authority. Oh, by the way, folks, again, so has the FDA, kind of like the FBI. Throughout the Western world, agendas obviously take precedence over truth. And that's certainly the case. Perhaps it's leading the way when it comes to COVID-1984. We're now, says Roberts, living under a COVID policy that has no evidence whatsoever in its support. And lacking any evidence for the ruling policy, suppression of the actual facts is the operating principle. The current utterly corrupt public health authorities, dumb shit, ignorant politicians, and scum prostitutes repeat the lies over and over, relying on constant repetition to turn the lie into truth. And the vast bulk of the world's population, lacking the education and or energy to think for itself, is satisfied just to have the media tell them what to think. Public health authorities, and here he says it again, folks, dumb shit politicians and those scum prostitutes censor scientists and doctors who actually understand the real health challenges and know what to do to get it under control. And that prevents information other than the controlled narrative from reaching the public. And here, he says, is the information that's being suppressed. Like, first off, the COVID vaccine doesn't protect against acquiring COVID, nor does it prevent the vaccinated sick people from spreading the virus, or at least spreading something, which might be even worse. 2. The COVID vaccine, sick, has massive adverse effects and is on course to cause more illnesses and deaths than COVID ever did. Among the adverse effects are infertility and, of course, spontaneous abortion. The vaccine, in fact, he says, 3, trains the virus to evolve variants that escape the immune response, and the lethality of the COVID virus has, in fact, been massively overstated, in part because the number of COVID cases were massively overstated by defective and highly inflammatory PCR testing. The outbreak of new cases ascribed to the Delta variant are worse, though, in countries with the most heavily vaccinated populations. That's been clear, literally, folks, ever since they started pushing this bogus agenda. Known cures, meanwhile, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, are intentionally being blocked from use by official protocol, while large numbers of top-level scientists and doctors are calling for a halt to the bogus COVID vaccinations. These calls, of course, though, are suppressed by the scum prostitutes and ignored by official authorities. But why, asked Dr. Roberts, is it just profit? Is it just control? Or is there an even darker agenda? Despite the known, clear, and incontestable failure of the vaccine, sick, to protect against infection and its known dangers to boot, the authorities are pushing forward with ever more vaccination and, of course, the mark of the beast to enforce it, which makes no sense whatsoever. Why have the authorities secured the cooperation of U.S. employers, military, hospitals, and police forces to mandate something which is not only not beneficial, but absolutely harmful, and called a vaccine when it's not? Why are public authorities using both government and the private sectors to coerce vaccination when the public authorities are fully aware that the so-called vaccine not only does not protect, but causes its own health injuries and deaths and spreads the virus, or something at least, the bioweapon form of it, which is even worse? Why, though, is there no public debate about the serious threat that the COVID protocol presents to the world population? And for crying out loud, how did scientific and medical truth become a conspiracy theory? From here, he goes to a speech given by Dr. Simone Gold, who stressed the experimental status a long time ago of the vaccine and the unprecedented use of that experimental, unapproved vaccine on the entire world population. And everything he noted that she expressed back then has now proven to be true. Problem is, the FDA has gone ahead and done what everybody knew they were going to do anyway, approving the Zyklon B poke. And you can pretty much guess, as if we didn't already see it coming, exactly what that means and what's coming next. But here, folks, I find myself suddenly recalling a line from the Wicked Witch of the West.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
And I'm referring, well, at least initially, to the Biden-Fuhrer problem. It's been obvious to literally everyone outside of the criminally negligent networks and their puppet masters in the so-called intelligence community that creepy quid pro Joe Biden wasn't fit to run an ice cream parlor, much less a global terrorist criminal empire. And now there's simply no denying he's baggage. He's way past his sell-by date, and it's rapidly getting to be too late even to do the dirty deed delicately. Did you see at least some of the excerpts from the painful and shameful press conference on Thursday? After reading his pitiful prepared speech via the ubiquitous teleprompter, the Biden puppet read out loud what he wasn't supposed to have. They gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on... Oops. No, you're not supposed to read that, you idiot. It makes it too darned hard to hide the obvious. And after claiming that he, quote, bears responsibility for all that's happened, just moments later, the senile one proceeded to blame Trump for all that's happened. But at the end of the facade, the Biden-Fuhrer asked for a moment of silence for all those whose deaths he's already been responsible for or will soon be. And no, he wasn't honest about that either, of course. But it's possible by now you've seen the picture where he collapsed with his head in his hands. What you didn't see, at least if you watched it on MSNBC because they cut the feed, was when he raised his head, said thank you, and then stared slack-jawed with fully vacant eyes for a few seconds before trying to speak again. Now, I certainly have sympathy, folks, for people who are losing their mental faculties. But not if they put their hand on a Bible and lie and have absolutely no business whatsoever being close to the Oval Office or the nuclear football. They stole the election and lied. They're trying to disarm the American people, about which they're lying. They're certainly trying to kill millions or hundreds of millions of people, again, about which they're lying. And now they're literally trying to undermine and destroy the entire American military. Not just by sabotaging morale and unit cohesion, but what with a now bogusly approved and thus unlawfully ordered bioweapon to boot. So the questions remain. Are they going to jettison the guy via the 25th Amendment, or will they force him to step down? Obviously, way too late on either score. And not only is heels in the air and slipped her way to the top, Kamala Harris, constitutionally ineligible to be president, even the communist left hates her, and everybody knows she's a reprobate. So she couldn't even win a rigged election, and needs to be deep sixed as well. Does that mean they're really considering bringing back Hillary and slamming her into the VP slot for escalation? Don't laugh, and don't throw up on your shoes either. Haven't you noticed the deep state's already been slipping her in the Benghazi, Kabul cover-up and catastrophe? Are we going to need to see a 1-2 punch to cover up for the deep steal that's been a whole long time coming but may never still be exposed in Maricopa County, Arizona, and Wisconsin and Michigan and all the others? This one ain't over, folks, and the fat lady certainly hasn't even started to sing. So keep working towards getting prepared, folks, because it's only just starting to get really ugly.